Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Lifestyles here on WWDB. I am Dee Lynam, your host for the next 30 minutes. Our sponsor for today's show is American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For free information and some creative ideas that can help your company, give Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That number again is 484-562-0063. We welcome to today's show Lisa Thomas-Lori, longtime journalist for 6ABC and now also an author. Lisa, welcome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much, Dee. I'm excited, delighted to be here this afternoon.
I do that every now and then with my name, by the way. Delighted, delicious, all those good things. The name of the book is On Camera and Off, When the News is Good and When It's Not. What about writing this memoir surprised you in terms of what it took and challenge-wise, what it was like for you?
That's a good question, because right away I think of how hard it was for me to get started. I had kept a journal, and, you know, notes of what I went through since 2001. But when I really sat down, Dee, to write the book, I couldn't get started because I tended to write like I did for television. And I realized that it was going to be very different. And I sought help from a wonderful woman. People out there might recognize her name, Gloria Hockman. She still works with the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Stan Hockman's wife?
Stan Hockman's wife. The adorable Stan Hockman. And, you know, she lost him suddenly.
One of my favorite men.
Yeah, I just loved his columns.
And her. Hey, I love her, too. I didn't mean that.
Yes.
So she helped?
She did. Nina Zucker, who has her PR company now, used to write our parade scripts. So we would meet with Nina over at Channel 6, Dave Roberts and I, when we did the Thanksgiving parade, and she would plan things, and oh my gosh, excuse me.
No problem.
Make sure, I thought I had that off. But anyway, Nina was wonderful, and I told her that I was thinking about writing a book, and who might get me started? She mentioned Gloria, and Gloria and I had many nice afternoons over lunch and discussing things and writing out the first and second chapter. And, you know, she got busy and I got real busy. And Brian Tierney recommended a publisher. And I really had, once I had that deadline, you know, get this, we've given you 3 months, I think I work better under a deadline. And I set my hours for midnight to 7 a.m. And that was around April, and finished it, and just went from there.
Wow, and that must have been a satisfying feeling when you finished.
It was, and once I really got started, because before I could just work at my leisure, and a lot of times, anytime someone was around the house, my sons or my husband would come home, I would say that I was going to write for a couple of hours, but I would put it off. But once I had a schedule and a deadline from a publisher, it was full speed ahead. It was like, you know, studying for a test, a final.
So it is a memoir, but there's a big part of it is your experience of an illness that goes undiagnosed, and you're experiencing excruciating pain for a long time. During that part of your life, not the writing of it, what was the lowest point that you experienced?
Not the writing of it. I tell you, you know, there's so many low points when it was misdiagnosed and it went undiagnosed for so long. But I think one of the lowest points was when midway through, I guess we were just a little bit over a year, my mother and I decided to go to an unconventional treatment facility down in Florida, and right outside of Naples. And my husband, being a Western-taught physician, wasn't so much in favor of the, you know, non-conventional facility, but thought it would be good for us to get away. We were on the heels of a really harsh winter here in Philadelphia. He thought the sunshine and just getting into another location would be good. And it was for the first week. But then I ate something, and it wasn't food poisoning, but by that time, we highly suspected that this disease, which had destroyed the lining of my nerves and my legs, was getting into my internal organs. And I wasn't digesting foods well, and some particular foods I was digesting more poorly than others. But I became violently ill, and I was in. We had selected a hospital, and the unconventional place assured us that they could take care of anything that developed. Well, they couldn't, and I had a bumpy 45-minute ride to the closest hospital in Naples, an old raggedy ambulance, and waited 5 hours in the emergency room. It finally admitted, and stayed sick for a week. And that's when I really learned the value of volunteers and people who, that's when I started looking at people differently. There was a man, a male nurse, who was volunteering. He came in every day just to tend to whatever I needed, give me some water or whatever. And he wasn't an RN. And he would just rub my back. Or a couple of days, he French braided my hair. My hair was long then. And he was just so nice. One day, he discussed the medication I was taking. And he said, what about that Dilaudid? Didn't you tell me you were taking Dilaudid for pain? He said, it sometimes can cause nausea. And sure enough, he mentioned it to the doctor, my physician. And that is what was causing all that extra nausea. And as soon as they took me off of it, I got much better. But my husband and I decided then that we were going to go to the Mayo Clinic. We had been encouraged to go by my gastroenterologist at home. But that period in Naples, Florida, away from home, being so ill, that was probably a real, real low point.
Lisa, at the Mayo Clinic, they do diagnose you properly with POEMS. Am I saying it properly?
Poem, like a rhyming poem.
Oh, it is like poem. Okay. What exactly is that?
Well, before I tell you that, let me backtrack, because there was a doctor who accurately diagnosed me 2 weeks into this, to maybe 2.5. He was my husband's mentor. He had been the chief of neurology at Lankenau Hospital, a little community hospital. He saw me right shortly after my symptoms first appeared, and he deduced that I probably had this rare condition called POEMS syndrome. He said, though, that he had only seen 5 patients in his career, and he couldn't treat me because he was leaving Lankenau.
To go to another hospital,
yes,
in
down
D.C.
south.
Or somewhere south.
He was going to do research, medical research near Morehouse. So, but he referred me to a doctor at Johns Hopkins, a neurologist there, Johns Hopkins University Hospital in Baltimore, and another hematologist / oncologist at Lankenau. And they saw me and followed, his diagnosis for a while, and then they dismissed it. Said I had something else. POEMS is a blood plasma dyscrasia disorder. It's considered a smoldering myeloma. It's sort of a cousin to multiple myeloma. And it's an acronym. P is for polyneuropathy, which was the first thing I experienced in my toes and legs. O is for organomegaly, enlarged organs. Most people who suffer from it get an enlarged liver or spleen or kidney. I didn't have that symptom yet. E for the endocrine system. I had developed hypothyroidism. M is the blood part, monoclonal gammopathy. And my platelets, my IgA level, my platelets were off the chart. Normal platelets are 250 to 400. At that time, mine were approaching 800. They would soar to 1.4 million. CID, people with CIDP don't have high platelets. I don't know if my doctor skipped that point, if they didn't know it, they didn't discover it, but they diagnosed me with CIDP, which is an autoimmune disease. It is the great mimic. A lot of people, my doctor who diagnosed it correctly told me later, are diagnosed with CIDP when actually they have POEMS, and that is because of the polyneuropathy. CIDP is another acronym, chronic inflammatory. Well, I'm sorry, it is not an acronym, but it stands for chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. But with POEMS, the neuropathy is merely a symptom. this is what CIDP is, the polyneuropathy. So they insisted that I had that, and they wanted to have more time to prove it. I knew in my gut that I didn't probably have that. I wasn't sure I did have the poems, but we just kept asking questions. I had two other doctors I saw here locally, one of them at Penn, who agreed with my other two doctors. I had CIDP. Another doctor, Dr. Terry Hyman Patterson, and she was leaning more toward revisiting the poems. But it was just a mess, you know. When I went to Mayo, you know, they do a really thorough, everything is interconnected. You know, doctors are friendly and nurses, everybody. It was just a whole different atmosphere of healthcare. And after a week of just about every test you can imagine, we came back to Dr. Dispensieri's office and she said, "You've got poems, you always had poems, it's shutting you down. You need a bone marrow transplant, but you're too weak." She sent me home, she changed my nutrition, she had me do exercises, and she prescribed a therapy for building my respiratory system, my pulmonary a capability. I came back in July and had the bone marrow transplant.
Sit tight because I have to take a commercial break. I know you can appreciate that. Okay. We are talking to Lisa Thomas-Laurie, and you are listening to Lifestyles.
Music, music. Now at the Ardmore Music Hall, a grand music venue in the heart of the Main Line. The venue is located at the legendary 23 East Lancaster Avenue in Ardmore, once known for its musical talent. Free parking nearby. For full information and tickets, see webpage at ardmoremusichall.com. ardmoremusichall.com or call 610-649-8389. That's 610-649-8389. The webpage again, ardmoremusichall.com. It's a grand music venue in Ardmore in the heart of the Main Line.
The National Constitution Center presents American Treasures, documenting the nation's founding, an exhibit that illuminates the founding era through the rarest early drafts of the U.S. Constitution, including Pennsylvania delegate James Wilson's own handwritten drafts. Created by the National Constitution Center in partnership with the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, this exhibit explores the momentous constitutional events in this early period of American history. Among the gallery's many priceless treasures is the very first handwritten draft of the U.S. Constitution, and a display of rare newspaper printings of the text of the Bill of Rights. For tickets, visit constitutioncenter.org or call 215-409-6700.
The major holidays are almost upon us. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's. Are you prepared for your holiday party events? We produce events for the holidays and other occasions. May we package your business or personal holiday event? Are you considering a Santa Claus or three-piece band or special celebrity guest? A Christmas carol, choir, or perhaps catering? Possibly walk-around magicians, fortune tellers? We aid corporate events, smaller business attractions, family affairs. Just tell us your goals. Free consultation, free ideas. Contact Wilms for Rent. Call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063.
Temple basketball tickets are on sale now. Don't miss head coach Fran Dumphy and the men's team battle. St. Joe's, Villanova, Wisconsin, UConn, Wichita State, and more at the Leah Chorus Center this season. Plus, head coach Tanya Cardoza and the women's team will face off against UConn and defending national champion South Carolina, led by head coach Dawn Staley. Call the Temple Ticket Sales Office at 215-204-TIXX or visit alstix.com to purchase your Temple men's and women's basketball tickets today.
Welcome back to Lifestyles. We are talking with Lisa Thomas-Laurie, longtime journalist here in Philadelphia. Actually, I always think this is interesting because you were on the anchor desk, but you were also out in the field.
Yes.
Did you have a preference to which you liked better?
I was always in love with reporting. And Bob Feldman, our assistant news director, knew that well. Everyone wants to anchor because that's the premier position and that's where the money is. But I used to ask to do specials when I didn't get too many. Once Jim O'Brien died and I started full-time anchoring. That's another man who was so, so good to me. He took me under his wing when I was a neophyte. When I first came to Channel 6, I had not anchored before. And, I was making mistakes and mispronouncing words, I'd never heard of the Schuylkills, the Conshohocken, Moya Mensing. And then they told me about a little rodent named Punxsutawney Phil. I couldn't pronounce any of that. And my hair was too thick, and I had a West Virginia twang they wanted me to get rid of. And Jim O'Brien took me under the wing, and in the book you'll see he had some real choice words, but he basically said, forget them, don't worry about that, you're going to be good, you've got a nice, relaxed way of delivering, and he worked with me on those things, and he was in my corner, encouraged me, and that was so important and helpful to me in the early days of my career.
Do you miss being a news journalist?
Now that I've written my book, no, I don't miss television news. I miss the people. Television news, I did it for 38 years. I did it just about everything I could do, the political conventions, traveling on the road. I covered Diana's wedding in Charles over in London, England. And no, because... Right, it was perfect timing for me to leave, Dee, because social media was killing me. We had to tweet what we were going to report and then do the story and then tweet what time it's going to be on. And I had come back from this illness. I was barely getting my story together. And I thought, oh my God, I got to tweet this and do that and Instagram. And it was time for me to leave.
Do you still have your social media accounts?
Yeah, but my son does it.
Oh, good for you.
I do the Facebook. He does the Instagram and Twitter.
I like that.
Yeah.
Part of your journey, and you recently shared this part, mm-hmm. was the use of painkillers to help you get through this illness. But right. Like so many people, and it's a huge epidemic, obviously, in
Absolutely.
Our country.
Mm-hmm.
Was it easy for you to share that, and have people reached out to you saying thank you for making me think or look at my own addiction?
It was not easy making the decision to be that transparent
open,
and
yeah.
open. But I'm glad I did. I feel very, very happy that I did. It's been rewarding because people have reached out and thanked me for the most part. And I knew it was reaching epidemic proportions. I knew it was an epidemic. It used to be an urban, problem in the city, poor black kids. It's in the suburbs now, and it's reaching white, wealthy families. And my sons alone have lost three friends. Three friends have overdosed and died because of opioid addiction in the last 4 years. And you just see it every day. The day that I went on NBC 10 and talked about, visually my problem, I thought, should I have done that? The reporter asked that question, and a little bit of me thought about it again. The very next morning, Monica Malpass gave me a call to give me some bad news. People will remember our beloved, dear health reporter, Anita Brickman.
Yeah.
You remember Anita?
Absolutely.
She went down, she left Channel 6 and went down to Washington. She and her husband relocated. They have three lovely children. And that morning, the next morning after my interview, they had found their oldest son dead in his dorm room. And they don't know if it was suicide, but it was opioid overdose. And I knew I'd done the right thing then. I said, this is just too close to home. And every time I turn around, someone that I know is talking about it. Either it's about someone in their own family or someone who's a close friend or someone they know well. So I'm very glad that I did that. So it's become easier to talk about it. And I hope it makes a difference to some people, and I think it's important.
And I know in that interview, you did go to rehab, and rehab actually did help you.
It did. I mean, you know what? mine was a medical addiction.
Right.
I had asked about it. I had asked my doctor. I said, look, I have addiction in my family. My father was alcoholic. Well, I don't want to be addicted to this OxyContin. She brushed it off, this person. She, no, you're going to be fine. You're okay. Don't even worry about that. And I learned later that doctors were told during that time that it's a socioeconomic issue. Yeah. And it was more of one then. But it rapidly became something that, you know, affected all demographics. And now it's the epidemic it is. But they needed to be aware. Doctors still need to be aware and educated about the problem, because you sure can become addicted to OxyContin, Percocet, many other pills, whether you're married to a doctor, whether you have a lot of money, whether you don't. I didn't even know it was creeping up on me the way it was.
Yeah, it has no parameters.
Right.
I have to take one more commercial break, but the book is On and Off the Camera.
Mm-hmm. On Camera and Off.
That's the same thing. See, I flipped it. Isn't that terrible? And no. Where can people get it?
Amazon. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it at CaminoBooks.com. That's my publisher. And I'm doing book signings all over, you know, the area. I think this will air after my next one in Delaware, but I'll be down, you know, before Christmas and after Christmas at some Barnes and Nobles in the city.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on Lifestyles, and we are talking to Lisa's Thomas Lori.
Into rock and roll? Then visit Philadelphia's Hard Rock Cafe. Enjoy the huge menu and especially view the memorabilia. There's the legendary Jim Morrison jacket, acquired from Danny Sugarman, manager of the Doors. See the guitar that John Mayer created. He played with Eric Clapton. From Elton John, his Uncle Sam costume, also Shakira's leather pants. The list goes on. Memorabilia from Jimi Hendrix and Joan Jett. Lunch or dinner, Hard Rock Cafe, 12th and Market Streets, Philadelphia. It's an experience. Also hosting corporate events, social gatherings, bar mitzvahs. Hard Rock Cafe is cool. 12th and Market, 215-238-0639. 215-238-0639. 12th and Market Streets, Philadelphia.
My name is Joe Ball. I am 88 years old. 88 years old. I don't look that old, except in the mirror. I've been in business over 61 years, aiding small and medium-sized firms with their advertising and related needs. I'm still at it. Benefit. You can benefit from my lifetime experiences. Call me personally at 484-562-0060. That's 484-562-0060. Or see www.phillybizmedia.com. That's www.phillybizmedia.com. Make your contact soon, for obvious reasons. I'm 88 years old. 484-562-0060.
To mark the new year and to start on the road to good health, Dr. Charles Grimm is giving the first 7 callers $150 worth of alternative health care at no charge. If you suffer from headaches, sinus problems, arthritis pain, PMS, carpal tunnel syndrome, fatigue, neck, or back pain, take this opportunity to find out if a non-drug solution can help you. Receive up to 100 tests at no charge if you call now. The phone number is 610-237-6645. Gain, this is a $150 value. You must be one of the first 7 callers. Call now. Phone 610-237-6645. That's 610-237-6645.
Need a speaker for your business meeting, organization, or group meetings? Need a speaker who is entertaining, inspiring, and informative? Need a speaker who is an authority on a subject close to your interest? We provide them. We are the Philadelphia Speakers Bureau. For speakers who serve your interests, call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Or write to us at AdComTimes at AOL.com. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. AdComTimes.
Welcome back to this edition of Lifestyles. We are talking with Lisa Thomas-Laurie. She is the author of a book that's now out, On Camera and Off, When the News is Good and When It's Not. Lisa, do you have another book in your future since you did this one? And you seem like you actually enjoyed how you got it done.
Yeah, I did, but I'm not even thinking, Dee, about another book at this point. I'm hoping that the book is a launch pad for something else. I'm really enjoying going out in the community and speaking to groups, and I'd love to do something in the near future having to do with helping patients navigate our perplexing healthcare system.
Sure.
And I actually met a woman who I'm going to meet about that. So something having to do with healthcare I would love, but I don't know. A friend wants me to do a cookbook with her, and I do have a lot of great Southern recipes, but I'm not sure yet. I want to get.
Cookbooks always seem to do well, though, Lisa. You do know that.
Do they?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think so, especially around the holidays.
Yeah, that's true. It's doing very well, and I've really enjoyed this part of the journey.
Well, thank you for coming in. I do appreciate it, and continued good health for you.
Oh, it's a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Lifestyles, and we want to remind you that our sponsor for today's show has been American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For free information and some creative ideas that can help your company, give our friend Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That phone number again, 484-562-0063. I'm Dee Lynam. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.